I was able to gain some insights into her thoughts, wishes, and moods in the decade following the explorer's demise. In 1888, 23 years after publication of The Love Life of Dr. Kane, Maggie contracted with journalist Reuben Briggs Davenport of the New York Herald to write her life story. Entitled The Death Blow to Spiritualism, that book, like Maggie's previous volume, was written to justify still another part of her life, this time the practice of spiritualism itself. Within its hastily compiled pages, Maggie denounced spiritualism as a fraud, claiming that since childhood, she and her sister Katie had been forced to work as mediums under their older sister Leah's relentless grip. While paraphrased comments, direct quotations, and descriptions of Maggie's earlier life were included in The Death Blow to Spiritualism, this book contains several misstatements. To me, the most disturbing were Davenport's descriptions of Maggie as an 8-year-old in 1848 when she started rapping, a child and a juvenile mischief maker, misrepresentations probably written to convince readers of her initial innocence. In actuality, by March 1848, Maggie was almost 15 and a half years old enough to know right from wrong. The Tide itself echoes a sensational Herald headline published that same autumn. Meant to shock readers outside of New York, dissuade them from spiritualism, and vilify her eldest sister Leah, the book provided still more insights about Maggie's rationale for her behavior. Two archival letter collections, the first in the Elisha Kent Kane collection at Philadelphia's American Philosophical Society, and the second in the Post collection at the University of Rochester's Rare Book Library, provided additional proof and color to the outlines of Maggie's life, as described in The Love Life of Dr. Kane and The Death Blow to Spiritualism. Still other collections, including those at the New York Public Library, the General Society Library of New York, the Friends Historical Library at Swarthmore College, and the public libraries of Rochester, Buffalo, Troy, Albany, and Cleveland, provided additional information about Maggie's seances, as well as spiritualism's envelopment into the popular culture of late 19th century America. Added to those sources were two books written by members of the Fox family. The first, published in 1885 by Maggie's eldest sister Leah, under her third husband's surname, Underhill, and entitled The Missing Link in Modern Spiritualism, was meant to promote spiritualism at a time when the movement was losing popularity because of the abuses perpetrated by some of its mediums. Leah's book is one of the few accounts of the Fox sisters' transformation from small-town curiosities to international celebrities. Beyond the obviously self-serving and self-flattering tone of The Missing Link in Modern Spiritualism, the book contains so many obviously embroidered spiritualist miracles that I found its main value was its chronology of the Fox sisters' rise to national prominence. In the 20th century, a third-generation Fox in-law, Miriam Buckner Pond, published a novelistic nonfiction account, Time is Kind, the story of the unfortunate Fox family. There is no one left to be hurt, Pond wrote in her introduction in that 1947 memoir. Drawing upon family lore and biased in Leah's favor, Time is Kind nonetheless provided new intimate details about Maggie's life and that of her family. Less personal, but more historically informative, was Modern American Spiritualism, a sweeping account of spiritualism during its first two decades, written in 1870 by medium historian Emma Harding, wife of the spiritualist publisher Reverend Samuel B. Britton. While crafted to aggrandize the spiritualist movement, Harding's book included useful excerpts from newspaper articles, though they were often missing dates. From these and other sources included in the bibliography at the back of this book, Maggie's story gradually emerged. Still, mysteries about the heroine of the reluctant spiritualist continue to abound. Did Maggie and Katie fabricate the raps and then inadvertently conjure up the spirit of the Hydesville ghost, only to discover that they could eventually raise an entire world of spirits? Or was American spiritualism a hoax, as Maggie publicly announced in the fall of 1888, only to recant her denunciation a year later?